This is Ralph Kermit Winterroad. The second with the Ralph Winterroad Show, Truth Seeker out of the Far North, coming to you out of Alaska today. I've been talking about there's no law of the that I guess under I didn't hear that qualifier, but I think she did put a qualifier according to somebody else that normally there's no law for anybody to file to pay income tax to pay the IRS. And for those that just may have joined up, in real brief summary, Cheek is one of the cases that's out there on the Supreme Court that delineates it out quite clearly, is there's got to be a definite law. The second issue is there's got to be a legal duty established in that law, which means there's got to be two parties. That's a key. Three, it's got to be a known legal duty. I have to know about it. And then, of course, I have to willfully and knowingly violate this known legal duty that was created by a definite law. You can't get to the fourth step without the third. You can't get to third without a legal duty, and you can't get a legal duty without the law. So, again, the obvious question is, why don't they just say, hey, guess what? Here's a legal duty. It's for a citizen of the United States to fill out an income tax return. It's in 6012, and here's the subsidy regulation under the statutory authority of Congress by a holding of the Supreme Court that says that we are ruling you by regulations, by legal notice. We're saying, hey, slaves on the plantation, we publish it. You don't object. What the heck's the problem? You made application. You said you didn't want to have a court of law. You said you didn't really want any specific remedies, and we're ruling you by legal notice. We publish it in the Federal Register, and I'm sure everybody every day goes in there and checks the Federal Register to see what new, quote, regulations are for us slaves on Congress's plantation in the land of Oz. They're the scriptwriters. So why don't they just tell us? They can't. Very good reason, because we might have one of these attorneys out here wake up and actually start doing something right and challenging the system, even though he is controlled by the professional code of conduct, which is a muzzle. That's why these attorneys don't do anything, because they talk up under the professional code of conduct. They're bound by that thing. It says if we don't permit it in this professional code of conduct, y'all can't do it. Oh, they also say you're supposed to tell the, quote, client that you can't do it. Of course, they don't ever do that either. A whole bunch of things they don't ever do. But, of course, the real question, again, is why that people should be asking is why don't they tell us? Well, like I say, there is a very good reason, and the very first case that came up was in 1792. It's called the Hayburns case, H-A-Y-B-U-R-N apostrophe S, Hayburns case, 2 U.S. 408, 2 U.S. 408, 1792. Well, what was that case about that would have application today? They had a Widows and Orphans Act. And what they wanted the court to do, the courts of the United States, exercising the judicial power where our inalienable rights are supposed to be posited, that's the source of the judicial power, and then Congress is supposed to make a court or courts that can receive all or some of the judicial power of the United States. One of the things going around that makes it cycle is the Court of International Trade is an Article III court. I have absolutely no doubt that's true. Absolutely no doubt. The problem is you have to go see what sliver of the judicial power of the United States does it deal with. Nothing to do with you and me. Unless you're in the international trade commerce type stuff over there, and they delineate it out in the code. These are the things that this court, Article III court, does. Of course, if they go to the trouble to tell you it's an Article III court, within the several states, I wonder why they didn't tell us the United States District Court is an Article III court. Of course, in 1948, Congress legislated all of the Article III courts out of existence, with the exception of the Supreme Court of the United States, but the Supreme Court of the United States had already made rules of court going along with this nonsense in 1938. They're in it. Short segment. We'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned, because we're going to get into the laws of the United States, the laws of Congress, and how they pull this little illusion off.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Rob Kermit Winterroad back again with the Ralph Winterroad Show, and we're talking about the statement about there's no law that requires anybody to file an income tax return. I was just listening to that on the ex-IRS agent, Sherry Jackson. She's up been indicted. And I fear that she doesn't have enough to make it happen in those courts, because those courts are being territorial courts, no Article III power, and if you don't thoroughly understand some of these issues, it is really an uphill battle. Even if you do understand them, it's an uphill battle, big-time uphill battle. But, of course, getting back to this issue, I was talking about the Hayburns case, which has application. There's been Fiera and Muskrat and several other cases that have held the same thing. But why doesn't... When you go in and they charge you with the willful failure to file or IRS-type stuff, why don't they just tell you where the law is? The laws of the United States, because there are no laws of the United States. They don't do them anymore. Haven't for a long time. And we're going to get to that here before the maybe probably past a half hour here. We'll see how I get along with this. But the Hayburns case is really an important issue of the crux of why they do not tell you. They can't. So what's the Hayburns case? Back in 1792, Congress created, which was a good thing, the Widows and Orphans Act. We have all these people that have been injured, lost property, lost arms since the war, since we, quote, became free from England. It's a good thing, but it's a benefit. They wanted the courts of the United States, under the judicial power of the United States, under the authority of the United States. It says exercising the judicial power. That's in Article 3. It's in Sections 1 and 2. It's got to be also under the authority of the United States. And if I have time, I'll tell you where that little ruse, Title 18, changed. Because there's no longer anything under the authority of the United States. But anyway, getting back to the Hayburns case, the issue was these people had problems, and Congress wanted to do the right thing and give them some public monies to assist, retirements, whatever. They wanted the courts of the United States, under the judicial power of the United States, because that is all that the Article III courts can do, is judicial power. They are prohibited from doing administrative stuff. Any of the administrative issues of, like, the IRS, they can't touch. Now, it can be done in the district because Congress has plenary power. They can operate in two capacities, a federal government and a state government. But they can't within the several states. Only judicial power. People that set up the Constitution were very, very smart. They could see this thing getting out of control, because if you open it up to administrative, you have no longer separation of powers. Because Congress can get in the middle of this and control what goes on in those courts, and that's where we find ourselves today. But anyway, getting back to the Hayburns case, the Supreme Court said, well, we can't do this. And Congress eventually withdrew the bill. But why could not the Supreme Court or the circuit courts of the United States or district courts, why couldn't any of the courts, when somebody came in there and brings a case in, say you are eligible to receive the benefit? The reason is quite simple. Because the judicial power of the United States, under separation of powers, cannot ever go to the legislative or executive side to have it overturned or to have its, quote, judgment or decree not followed through with. So the issue was, if Joe Patriot came into the courts of the United States and they said, yes, you're eligible to collect the monies under the benefit that they've offered in this Widows and Orphans Act. Well, that particular party did not receive the money until it had to go back over to the executive side on the separation of powers problem. It had to go back over to the Department of War, and the Department of War could say, no, I'm not going to pay you. That is made the executive department being the court of heirs. They could overturn the judicial power of the United States. So they said, well, we can't do this because it's not judicial power, because it doesn't stay in the judicial branch, the judicial department. Only if it is exercising judicial power, it must go up either on a writ of error or appeal to a higher court. That's it. It can't go back to the executive, or it can't go back to Congress to be re-legislated on. It can't go over to the executive and say, no, I don't want to do that. We have no separation of powers. And the power, all power, comes from the people in our constitutional republic. And a real simple test, when anybody walks up to you, is by what authority and power are you authorized and empowered over my life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? And if they can't prove it, they don't have it. It's got to be by a certificate of election or by a civil commission. And a civil commission is just evidence of the authority of appointment, and the signature is the appointment power. And if they don't have a certificate of election, or if they don't have a civil commission, they have no power over you, because we have given a limited delegation to a constitutional republic. You all can do this, you can do this, and Joe Blow can do this, Sheriff can do this, but you've got to have the documents where I have, by contract, by and through the Constitution, or by the creation of the legislature, granted you the power with an office with powers and duties. You, sir, can be a plumber. You, sir, can be an electrician. Powers and duties. And if you're appointed, not elected, where's your civil commission? Where's your appointment? Where's your appointment documents? Put the powers and duties of an office. The office has got to be created first. And that's only by the Constitution. It's only by the legislature or Congress. That's it. You can go on the Attorney General's homepage today. Back in the 1950s, the Attorney General got around and created their own office. For powers and duties, then turned around and filled it. This is on the highest, it's on the home page of the Attorney General of the United States. That's how far the ignorance level of the people of our country has gotten, because we're not taught this. How do we know this stuff? Nobody teaches it. It's not taught in public schools. So anyway, getting back to the issue here of the law is, why don't they just come in there and say, Sherry Peel Jackson, you, ma'am, are in violation of 26 U.S.C. 6012, which is not a law of the United States. It's a law of Congress, and we have created an agency here that must operate by regulation, and the regulation under the statutory authority of Congress is 26 CFR 1.6012-1, and it says you are of the status of being a citizen of the United States. You are therefore bound to make a tax return. Seems quite simple to me. Of course, they can't do it, can they? And again, the big question is, why don't they just do all of these things? All the drivers, all these things are all conduct penalties. They make them up, and there's conduct penalties, because when you enter this land of Oz, your conduct is what they're punishing you for, because they can't expose the whole rest of the story. Because guess what? Under the another quote, this is under Title 28, USC 2201, which is a mere law of Congress. Even though it says it's a law, they have to say it's a law, which we're going to get to here probably at the end of the hour. It'll give me a half hour to go over the rest of this, of how they pulled this little illusion off. 2201, the courts, this territorial court that's dressed up to look like an Article III court that can't even, a territorial court can't even exist in the several states to begin with, and it is a territorial court by public record. And by the revisor notes, and by the way, I had a friend send me over, save me some time, is the revisor notes are authoritative. They have just as much force and effect of what's going on, the revisor notes, as what's going on in the statute. So, getting back to this, Title 28 USC 2201, That territorial court, United States District Court, dressed up to look like an Article III court. Oh, God, that's a good-looking court. Look at that black uniform guy up there. Of course, he has no civil commission as a judge of the United States, for a court of the United States. Has no seal of the United States on it, the civil commission. It says he's going to operate in this Title 28, Section 132 court under the Department of Justice seal, but that's just technicality stuff. He looks like a judge, got a black robe on, got U.S. Marshals hanging around there with all them guns on. Boy, they look great. Fancy building. Everybody knows that the court, United States District Court's got to be a good place. They couldn't have pulled this off in front of 300 million people. Well, guess what? That court is prohibited by an act of Congress. It says you all cannot make a determination if that guy up here, or a woman, is a taxpayer. You can't divulge the second party. We prohibit you from doing that. I hear the music, and we'll be back in a minute again. Thank you.
ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Back with the Ralph Winterroad Show, and we've got another short segment. And then on the long segment, for the last half hour, I'm going to go over how they pulled this ruse off. We don't have laws in the United States. We have laws of Congress. But getting back to why don't they tell us, like in Sherry Jackson's case, this IRS agent, and thousands upon thousands of people that get prosecuted for willful failure to file a penalty statute, but where's the law? Well, of course, they can't tell us the law, because if they did, even some of these attorneys would, they might actually catch on, and of course, then we couldn't give the illusion. You don't give away the illusion of how it's accomplished on the stage. This is not kosher. We want you all to believe, because we do the set the jury instructions up, and the judge is going to give you the law. And that's absolutely true. It's in Title 28, 132. That court is a statutory court, and it says right in there that Congress, the rules of court, or the orders. Any three of those can say anything they want. The judge can give you the law as he chooses to fit. That's why they're all over the place. There's nothing constitutional law. There's no as a matter of law in those courts. They tell us that the judge can do it because there's no judicial power of the United States there. It's judicial power of a district court. And the court, the power, judicial power, it says right in Title 28, Section 132, can be exercised by a single judge. He does whatever he feels like, so don't piss the judge off. That's why these attorneys are going in there and kowtowing to that sucker. One of the many reasons, of course, the other one's to keep their bar cut, bar license. But we get back to Title 28, Section 2201. It says that the United States District Court, Territory Court dressed up, cannot tell if you are a taxpayer. Well, the obvious question is, how in the world can you have a legal duty without two parties? Now that, the law does not like impossibilities. Remember, we're in the land of Oz. So they can't disclose the law. I even have a case where they asked the IRS agent, shall we tell the party, the defendant, the law? And the IRS agent said no, under oath. We don't have to tell you, you ignorant suckers there. You slaves were on the plantation, shut up, and you signed up for it. You signed up that we don't have to have a court of law, and we don't have to give you a real remedy. It's an illusion. Enjoy the show. We have our mafia come around every week, and we take protection money, and you didn't want to pay the protection money, so here you are. Don't complain. Shut up. But it says it in Title 28, Section United States Code, Section 2201. The court cannot make a determination if you are a taxpayer. Well, of course, the obvious question then becomes, is, well, where is and who can make a determination if you are a taxpayer? And, of course, this is the determination letters that are under Title 26 CFR 601-201. Internal Revenue Service. Now, they can do it. You betcha. Absolutely. They can make a determination if you're a taxpayer. And, of course, that's under the statutory authority of 5 U.S.C. 301 and 552. Well, that seems really interesting because it doesn't even say it's in Title 26. But, of course, it doesn't have to. But if you're a mere employee under this, especially under 552 and 301, hey, it works. It's statutory authority of Congress. Congress says, hey, there's where statutory authority is. What's the problem? That's why the court can't tell you who a taxpayer is. But you can go to the Internal Revenue Service. Wonder why nobody ever subpoenas them and say, hey, am I a taxpayer? The presumption is made in there in those courts, if you listen and look at the transcripts, and the taxpayer this, and the taxpayer that, and you fill out a form that you were a taxpayer. And what do they put on the screens? Well, here's the 1040. Is that your signature there, Mr. Taxpayer? Why, of course it's my signature. But I deny I'm a taxpayer. You've already stipulated, Bubba. You're already hooked. Hook's planted. You're in the boat in the net. What's the problem? That's why they cannot and will not tell you where the law is and where the legal duty is, because the court, it would kill the illusion. Because under Title 28, Section 2201, the laws of the United States are laws of Congress, not the laws of the United States, laws of Congress. Not even positive law. Positive law is another nonsense thing. That's how international law and municipal law. You find that in Bouvier's, which I'm going to get into after the half hour. We're going to tell you how they did pull this little illusion, how they set the illusion up. But this is the game. That's why they won't tell you it's Title 26 U.S.C. 6012. They won't say that it's under 26 CFR 1.6012-1 under the statutory authority of Congress, which in Title 26 U.S.C. 7805 says if the IRS is going to enforce anything, there shall be a regulation. Let's see, might, could be, should it be, should have been. Of course, we don't want to get too close to having any knowledge and the wisdom how to use it in these courts. We'll be back, and I'm going to tell you how they pulled this illusion off.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased. And I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715, again, 888-211-1715, or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Well, this is Ralph Cormack Winterroad II, Ralph Winterroad Show out of Alaska, truth seeker of the far north. Beautiful day in Alaska, nice and cloudy and cool. Winter's on its way, unfortunately, but that's what we do up here. We have seasons, and boy, when they start, when they get going, we lose 6-7 minutes a day on some of these days, and boy, a week or two or three can make a lot of difference. And when the sun comes up and when the sun goes down into the temperature. Anyway, been talking about what Sherry Jackson talked about is why don't they tell us in the courts where the law is, which is under Title 26 U.S.C. 6012. Like I say, I've got it out of the 2nd, 4th, 6th, and 9th circuits out of a Rhode Island judge. It's out of the DOJ under a signature, and they're saying, we don't got to tell you. You ignorant slaves, shut up. You're on a need-to-know basis. Contribute. Our mafia gets around and uses the, quote, employers to... You're supposed to pay the protection money every week or 2 weeks whenever you get paid in this fictitious land and the land of Oz with our fictitious notes. So how did they pull this off? Well, I found this act a long time ago. And I could not figure out, even when I had money, I actually, quite a few years ago, I actually went out and I had a certified copy of it. Out of the archives, because I wanted to see, I wanted to have a copy of it so that I could use it But what did these guys actually pull off? What was the issue here? Why did they do what they do? Because there's always a reason why they do it. And this was accomplished on February 25th, 1871. It's on the Internet. You can go in and search for the statutes at large. It's at 16 stat, which is statute at large, 16 stat, which means volume 16, statute at large, and it's on page 431. And it's a real short little act. A lot of the stuff that these people do, because the Constitution and words were so accurately and with great specificity in there, it doesn't take a lot to undo the protections that were in our Constitutional Republic. This is in Chapter 71. It says, an act prescribing the form of the enacting and resolving clauses of acts and resolutions of Congress and rules for the Constitution thereof. So they come along and say, that the act, they got this being enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled. And they turn around and say exactly the same thing, that the enacting clause of all acts of Congress hereafter, acts of Congress now, hereafter enacted shall be in the following form, being enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled. Exactly the same words. So the obvious question, what is going on here? But there's a more important issue. But this tells you right here that something's up in Denmark. Something's really rotten in Denmark. And the resolving clause of all joint resolutions shall be in the following form, resolved by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America and Congress assembled. Semicolon. But here's where we start. There's where they pulled this off. And no further enacting or resolving words shall be used in any subsequent section or resolution after the first. No further enacting. And each section shall be numbered and contained as nearly as may be a single proposition of enactment. Now that sounds like real or precise law. Each section shall be numbered and contain as nearly as may be a single proposition of enactment. Okay, so what did they do here? Well, if you go look at the statutes at large under the laws of the United States, you're going to see that they always start off with the preamble, section 1, then they have section 2, SEC period number 2. And then in italics, it's and be it further enacted. And then they do section 3. And be it further enacted. So, they're saying we're not going to be doing this anymore. There's no more section 2 that says, and be it further enacted. They quit making laws of the United States. They quit enacting them. This is how you get, I'm going to get into the section enacting in just a second. This is how laws of the United States are enacted. You don't go up in the preamble and say, no, we are hereby going to make positive law. We're going to hereby make law. Hoo-ha. Preamble is not where it's done. It's done down in the text where they enact, and then they say, and be it further enacted. And be it further enacted. And every time you make a new section, you say, and further enacted. And be it further enacted. This is how it gets into law. Enact has a specific meaning. Well, I've been pondering this for, like I say, years. Oh, more than 10 years when I first came across this. And it's been around the Internet for a lot of years, too. I don't know where or how I came across it. It's been too long to remember, but I said, I know that they're doing something rotten here, because why would you go to the trouble to make all these what seems to like an insignificant change? Why would you do that? We've been making laws in the United States all these years. Well, in this books that I'm going to be making available here. I've got the two books done, Title 18 and Title 28, the public records. I have got the Title 18 public records. I'm working on cropping it, and I've got part of Title 18, and you need the 1940 code. And then a person will have enough of the public record to piece this together to see how these guys did and read it yourself. These are public records. But I was reading in this one, and I thought, now, isn't this interesting? Because I was, that's what I OCR'd this, all of this stuff so I can word search it and find out, you know, find out what words and where they are there. And I was looking through this, and I said, well, isn't this really just special here about... That's FAC. I lost my place here. But anyway, it's and this they're talking about here, and this happened to be a this guy here was a statement of an Alexander Holtzoff, Holtzoff. He's a special assistant to the Attorney General, and that's one of the things that's available that I'm going to be making available. And this is these different statements from these different judges and politicians and. Westlaw was knee-deep in this, and the attorneys. But I thought, isn't this an interest? There's a lot of these type of things in there when you start to get the understanding of what these guys are doing. It said, and this is a quote right out of the book here. This is on page 2676. In 1926, the Code of Laws of the United States, or as it's sometimes called the United States Code, was compiled and published under the authority of this committee, pursuant to congressional direction. Title 18 is of this code is a compilation of federal criminal statutory law. It constituted an important milestone. The fact, however, that the United States Code has never been enacted into absolute law, representing only prima facie the text of existing statute, makes it necessary of persons desiring to ascertain the exact text of any act of Congress to refer back to the statutes of law, the revised statutes, which, by the way, are prima facie, or the criminal code, as the case may be. So if you go on in these different ones through there, and they're talking about the judicial code of 1911, and if they come along and make an act of Congress, like they killed the writ of error, supposedly, in 1928, it doesn't become part of the code. And then this guy is saying, well, the code is not absolute law, and that's what the reason for the, quote, positive law. Now, wait a minute here. Something is really out of whack here. You have to say in the preamble it's going to be positive law, or it's enacted into law. Well, then the obvious question that I would want to do, what the hell is all this other nonsense? What is that? I thought your only authority was to make laws in the United States, or private law. That's it. They're hanging themselves with the logic of their own nonsense. That's the nice thing about these lies, especially when they put this out. As soon as you apply a little bit of logic, it comes out. So the real question is, what is going on? The judicial code is not laws in the United States. Title 26, when they did the codification, is not laws. 1940 is not laws. It's not absolute law. It only looks like the law. Of course, I have a book here on the Roman civil law. I spent a couple days trying to find out what codification meant, because you always find this everywhere. It's been codified. Hoo-hoo! Oh, golly gee whiz! Bow down! It's been codified. What the heck does that mean? Under the Roman civil law, codification or codification is to change existing law with new law to replace it. You no longer need to repeal the real law. You step into the Roman civil law, and you can obsolete it, delete it, just leave it out. It's whatever you want. Sky's the limit. But there's more to it than this. If you go back to the civil rights cases after the Civil War, they're called the civil rights cases. It talks in there, the Supreme Court is telling Congress, this is not a grant, the 14th Amendment. And by the way, the reason why they put the 14th Amendment in is so that Congress, the later one, couldn't repeal it, or the Supreme Court could not declare it unconstitutional. If the peasants, the slaves on the plantation, ever wised up in the land of Oz. That's the Supreme Court talking. So why'd they do this? And why 1871? Real important. You know what you don't find in municipal ordinances? And be it further enacted. They quit making laws of the United States after February the 25th, 1871, because they wanted to create this fiction, a municipal corporation. They wanted a fiction in law. And they would be bound by and be it further enacted, because laws of the United States can't operate in that world. So we just very slyly say, oh, we've got a new enacting clause or a new preamble. Looks exactly like the last one. And, oh, by the way, we no longer use and be it further enacted. And, of course, what does Bouvier say about enact? To establish by law, which means by Congress or by the legislature. Be it enacted. It's to establish by law. That's what enact means. But we don't need that no more, because we're not going to make laws in the United States. Then all those people never figure it out. Absolutely not. Of course, then what does section mean? Again, in Bouvier's 1914, a part separated from the rest, a division, a portion, specifically a distinct part of a book or a writing. Subdivision of a chapter, the division of a law, the division of a law. And there's a court case, 23 Nebraska 128, which I haven't looked up yet, but I'm going to, and then I'm going to create a little module on it. But it's a division. But see, how did they get around it? Well, so see, we're going to make municipal law, because in municipal law, we don't have to have and be it further enacted. Because we're not the sovereign here, folks. This is fictional world. And then they put in this 16 Stat 431, and each section shall be numbered and contain, as nearly as may be, a single proposition of enactment. Because a section is a new issue of that act. But we get around, as nearly as may be, a single proposition of enactment. You know, close works in horseshoes, but it really has a hell of a time working in the laws. And that's the game. With what I can tell you right now, after many, many hours, thousands of hours of getting to this point, of picking a lot of pieces, the revised statutes of 1873-74 of 1878 are only legal evidence of the law, which means prima facie. 1911 code, the 1909 code of Title 18, 1926 code, 1935 code, the 1940 code is all looky like an illusion. Prima facie. And then they come along and say, oh my goodness, we're going to say in the preamble, and I got to cross check, but I've done work on preamble, but it's been so many years. I don't think the preamble has any standing in law, like the title. It might be helpful, but it has no standing. And they tell you that we, in Title 18, we have to tell you that we're making positive law. Well, the obvious question, what the hell are you guys doing with all this other nonsense? What is it? If you have to tell us you're doing, quote, positive law, which is municipal law, which has also got three other qualifications in it, for the law of nations by tacit approval and all this other nonsense. Now, wait a minute. Who the hell are you folks up there? I can tell you unequivocally, and I don't like to make, when I make statements, I have stuff to back it up. I can tell you unequivocally, I can prove that Congress and every legislature of these, quote, several states, which are these states, are committing acts of treason and are domestic terrorists by their own votes. They're voting against our constitutional republic, the demise of a constitutional republic. And I'll probably maybe do a show on that next week. And they have the contracts to prove it. But this is the issue. What these people that are called senators United States senators, they should be senators of the United States, not United States senators, just like it should be the Constitution of the United States, not United States Constitution. These, all they're doing up there is making laws of Congress. They have plenary power in the land of Oz. And they quit making laws of the United States right after February 25th, 1871. They had to do that before they did the revised statutes of 1873 and 74 because they wanted to create a municipal corporation or municipal laws, ordinances, really, but they're laws of Congress. They wanted to enter the world of the municipalities. And they couldn't do it with NBA further enacted, and that's the reason why. Well, it looks like we're going to have one more short break, and then we'll be back, and we'll sum this all up, so stay tuned.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Well, this is Ralph Kermit Winterroad, the second, back with the Ralph Winterroad Show, and we've been talking about why they don't tell you the law in Title 26 of United States Code 6012, why they don't disclose, because they can't, because the taxpayer, the legal duty, can't be disclosed in that court. It's prohibited. It would let the illusion out of the bag, make it way too simple for these stupid attorneys. Most of them, from my perspective, are. I don't know if they're stupid. I guess they're bound by they want to make a living. And, of course, they accomplished this by quit making laws in the United States. And they made this municipal, municipality, or this municipal type law, it's actually municipal law Congress did, by, back in, February 25th, 1871. And of course, let me read you a little further what the definition of section is, which also, by the way, is in this, case, which is, State versus Babcock, and I'm going to be putting that out on my, special list, the actual case. I'll be putting a site out on the other list, and it's at 36 Northwest 348. Why is that section important when it says section, and then be it further enacted? It said the smallest numbered subdivision of a statute, code, textbook, etc., which contains a distinct subject. It's got to be NB and further, it's something that is distinct, and it's got to be NB and further enacted. And enacted says to be by law, enacted by law, becomes a law. And they took it out so that they could create the municipal law, Congress, of the revised statutes and the codes, because they had never done that in the past. And that's my take on what's going on. And now with the positive law, all this nonsense about positive law enacted into law, again, the simple logic question is, if you have to tell me you're enacting it into positive law, you have to tell me you're enacting it into law in the preamble, which is not law in and of itself. As I recall, I got, before I sign my name or really say this happens, I got to go back and look at my research. But if you have to tell me you're doing the enacting into law, then what in the world are you doing with all this other nonsense? It's all an illusion. Total smoking mirrors, because we've made an application. We're presumed to have the same rights as enjoyed by the white citizens. You want to be a citizen in the United States, you got to pay protection money. Or if you want to be a Santa Claus, you got to bring gifts every Christmas. That's what Santa Claus does. A reindeer in every garage. Hello, Rudolph, what are you doing in there? Doesn't have to exist. You just got to think he exists. That's why they do not tell you the law, because they can't. They're prohibited by Congress because it lets the illusion out, because there's no judicial power of the United States, and that's what they also did in Title 18. I think I'll be talking some about that next week. They took out under the authority of the United States on this habeas corpus that this attorney has filed on behalf. The Title 18 was never passed by both houses, which I think is absolutely true. But there's even more important issues, is they say against the United States in Title 18, well, wait a minute, if we don't have any laws in the United States, that's surplus. It has no relevance. Something against the laws of France. Who in the hell cares? We're not in France, are we? We're not doing laws in the United States. It means absolutely nothing. These wordsmithers, these guys that do these words of art, are really great. They really know how to pull it off. Anyway, we're out of time, and so welcome to the municipal law, you citizens of the United States, or those that want to be, and hopefully we can get back to get our constitutional republic back and exit the portal and get back to reality. It can be done, so we'll see you next Sunday. With 3